Call from the Doll on Kerry Today.
Michael, good morning to you. And we'll start with the poll, the latest poll from the Irish Times and Ipsos about, what people would like the money, the anticipated budget surplus, or very much the budget surplus that will be announced in October, what they'd like it to be spent on, or rather not spent on. Go through it with us. Some interesting findings.
Yeah, this poll is very significant, Tressa, on a number of levels, because it shows, first of all, what people want. This bonanza, this money that's come in from apparently, just a handful of companies. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council says that three companies are now responsible for about one-third of all corporate tax revenue. So it's kind of fragile. But look, the money is there. And what do you do with it? And the poll is very interesting. It says 40% of people, they want the money invested in public transport, hospitals, housing and schools. And perhaps most interesting of all, just 9% want tax cuts. Now, this is very significant in terms of what people want. I think the 9% figure will surprise people. It's low, let's face it. But also, politically, it's hugely significant because it puts in tatters the Fine Gael strategy of recent weeks, which was to promote the party as, coming up to the local and Europeans next year and then a general election, that Fine Gael was the party of low taxes. And it's gone all wrong as a political strategy. And by the way, Tressa, that 9% figure is reflected among Fine Gael voters. So it could be argued that Leo and his junior ministers who penned that op-ed in the Irish Independent calling for tax cuts, they're out of sync, actually, with voters generally, but also their own supporters.
Is there any possibility that people gave the answers to what they felt would be politically correct, that maybe they felt I would appear a lot more virtuous if I say I want the money invested in public services rather than tax cuts? Is there any possibility of that? I think there's a term, they call it the I think there were polls in the United States, the shy Trump voters. They wouldn't ever, and I'm not likening people who want lower tax rates to Trump supporters, but that there was this phenomenon of people who didn't always reveal their true beliefs or their true wishes to pollsters.
No, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. I think that a lot of voters are quite sceptical about political promises anyway, and rightly so. They also feel that, okay, you get some tax concessions, it allows you to buy an extra cup of coffee, or maybe the extra pint or whatever, or an ice cream in this hot weather. And that, relatively speaking, it doesn't make you considerably better off. And I think they're also looking at a situation where there's gaping holes in terms of hospital, the health services, housing and schools. I think if housing wasn't such a big issue, and if the health services wasn't causing so much grief to so many people, despite the frontline workers and the people who work the health services doing brilliant work under dreadful conditions, I think people would be looking for tax cuts. But I think they're looking at other issues, and that's why I think those issues are taking precedence.
And what do you make of the poll which says that respondents had little interest in the following: saving the surpluses for a rainy day, paying down the national debt, spending the money, the surplus on climate action, or establishing a fund to pay for a united Ireland?
I'm not that surprised about that. The rainy day bit may be a little surprised because, look, this economy collapsed before because a government refused to take advice which said you can't keep cutting taxes and increasing public expenditure based on an unreal property boom. And then the whole economy collapsed and it caused a lot of grief for a lot of people. So from that point of view, the rainy day fund is not a bad idea overall. But I'm not surprised, Tress, if you look at the issues there, they're not immediate issues for people. And certainly saving for a united Ireland, I mean, that's not even on people's radar screen.
Michael, when we come back, we'll talk about yesterday's poll, which showed that Fine Gael and Sinn Féin have lost support, and each having a drop of 4 percentage points, but Sinn Féin remain the most popular party at 31%. But the thought-provoking times for Leo Varadkar, most definitely. We'll get to that and more after these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
And Michael, before we go back to you, we have to read this out from Mishka Aaron and Kerry County Council. Due to an issue at the reservoir, the water supply to Glenbow Village and the surrounding areas will be affected today. Mishka Aaron and Kerry County Council are working together to resolve this issue as soon as possible and appreciate your patience. And we've a great comment in, Michael, saying we have Jack O'Connor versus Mickey Hart on Sunday, promises of tax cuts and Fianna Fáil back up in the polls. It all feels very 2005 this week.
actually, that's a very, very good point. It has that ring about it, hasn't it? Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's kind of back to the future, all right, no doubt about it. But it's been a terrible week for Leo, particularly Leo Varadkar. When you think about it, Trasa, last Sunday, three Sunday newspapers separately had articles talking about Fine Gael backbench dissatisfaction with his leadership. Now, that was quite something. Then he had to meet it head-on at the parliamentary party meeting on Wednesday night, and he said, look, if you have problems with leaders, come and talk to me, etc., etc. There was support for him, but look, support can be very tenuous. Mrs. Thatcher famously said on one occasion in the House of Commons that her then Chancellor of the Exchequer, his position, she said, was unassailable. He was gone within days. So that's the way politics goes. But not saying there's an immediate threat to Leo's leadership, there isn't. But then the opinion poll, which showed Fine Gael 18% down 4, its worst performance in a long, long time. And Leo's personal rating, 37%, down 6. Mary Lou's personal rating, 42%, at the same. Micheál Martin, actually, just behind Mary Lou now, used to be ahead of her at 41%. But certainly, the combination of all these things coming together this week made it a pretty, pretty rough week for Fine Gael, who, by the way, because of retirements, have to start looking for new candidates in a number of constituencies, not least the Kerry five-seater.
And Fianna Fáil must be pleased with this poll. In second place with 21%, up three points. I can't think the last time that Fianna Fáil was ahead of Fine Gael in the polls.
Yeah, this is a good result for Fianna Fáil by any standards. And I know they were all playing it down. They follow absolute detail of a Trasa. They watch the minutiae of polls. They can't wait to get the results of newspaper opinion polls and that kind of thing. But look, they have to pretend, we're not that interested. But certainly a good, very, very good week for Fianna Fáil on this. And it'll be interesting to see what happens now with the revision of the constituencies in August, the European and locals next year. What will happen in relation to the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael leadership? Micheál Martin in a strong position at the moment, but will he opt to stay on? Leo, potentially seriously vulnerable.
And the margin of error in this poll, of course, is estimated at plus two or minus 2.8%. Briefly, Sinn Féin remain the most popular party by a considerable extent, but they are down 4 points to 31%. What's your reading of that?
I think some of the support for Sinn Féin, and this applies to all parties at different times, could be a soft vote. It's the kind of vote as well that will be interesting to monitor in the European and locals. There's a swing to Sinn Féin among very disaffected people, particularly young people who see they can't even aspire to buy a house or even to afford to rent someplace. Fairly basic stuff. And they're swinging towards Sinn Féin. The challenge for Sinn Féin, of course, is to get the so-called grey vote. These are the people who go out and vote. They're working on that, but it's still a very, very strong performance by Sinn Féin, and they're on course now, and a lot can change between now and the general election. They're on course to be the big players post the next general election.
And briefly, Social Democrats are at 5%, a jump of 3 points. The Green Party and the Labour Party both remain unchanged at 4%. Now, Michael, I just want to read a tweet I came across this week, a lovely tweet in relation to yourself and to Gerry on Kerry Today. A woman from Kerry, who I think is now living up in Dublin, Lucy O'Shea, she tweeted out the obituary to her late father, Tim Tighe O'Shea, who passed away in April. He sounded such a loving, kind, warm, and very interested man, in a man interested and curious about life. And she wrote that he had a keen interest in current affairs and politics, and loved listening to Call from the Dáil on Radio Kerry every week. And to Lucy and to her family, we pass our condolences on the loss of your father, and indeed of your mother's husband, Tim Tighe O'Shea. Tim O'Shea. It's a lovely obituary, and it was nice to see that mention of Call from the Dáil.
Yeah, and I would thank Lucy for it. I know Lucy from her Leinster House days, and we've had some interesting banter over the years on Twitter about politics and Kerry and that. I wasn't aware her father had passed away until I read that tweet. I was quite shocked, actually, stunned, in fact, because Tim Tighe O'Shea, he was a lovely piece written by Lucy, and a man of, eclectic interests, wide range of interests, great community man. His association with the AIB and the Fire Brigade, and liked the song, etc., into music. And his untimely death was quite shocking. But I want to pay tribute to Lucy for what was really a marvellous piece of writing, and a lovely, lovely tribute to her father. And my sympathy to Tim Tighe O'Shea's wife Kitty, and indeed to the extended family.
And Michael, I know you want to pass on your sympathies as well on Call from the Dáil from a man who used to listen to it so much as well, the late Senator Paul Coughlan, who passed away last week and who was laid to rest on Monday.
Yeah, Paul got a very, very good send off in Killarney. There's some nice eulogies in that, and a great farewell. Again, a very, very sad occasion for those of us who knew him for years and years, in my case, and indeed in the case of many others. And just a very simple little anecdote about Paul Tressa. Paul knew so many people from so many walks of life. It was incredible. And some years ago, he got very friendly with the then Papal Nuncio in Ireland. And they were quite friendly, they met up and all that kind of thing. And I happened to be at a ceremony in Dublin one time for the then Papal Nuncio, and he was introduced to each other, and I said, "We have a mutual friend." And he said, "Who?" I think he thought I was going to say the Pope, but I didn't. I said, "A man called Senator Paul Coughlan." "Oh yes, of course," he says, "Senator Coughlan, yeah, a very good friend of mine." And when I met Paul next time, I said, "Paul, you have friends in high places." I said, "The Papal Nuncio was inquiring about you. You have influence in Rome." And Paul says to me, "Michael, what I need is influence on the Shannon election trail." He was a great man and a great addition to politics, a great Kerry man, and will be sorely missed.
Michael, thank you for that. And unfortunately, we're out of time, but we'll be back next week. Have a good weekend. I know you'll be looking forward to Kerry in action at the weekend, the women and the men.
Indeed, and I'll be tuned into Radio Kerry for it.
Good to hear that.